So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. Welcome, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. Hope you're well today. It is Wednesday. It's 12 o'clock, more or less. And welcome to the Property Cash Flow Show. So in this session today, we're going to talk about lending money to people. And I see it all the time on Facebook and on LinkedIn, and it scares the living heck out of me. So let me explain what I'm talking about. So you might see this on Facebook. You'll see somebody post out and they say things like, hey, don't put your money in a bank and get 1 or 2%. Why not lend it to me and get 8% guaranteed? Or they'll say 12% guaranteed return. Just give me all your money and I'll give it back to you in 12 months with a 12% return. And it's that kind of thing that I'm on about. And so I see it happening. And first of all, these people are not qualified in any way, shape or form. How do you know what they're going to do with that money? Well, they're in property, right? So what? Everyone's in property. It makes no difference. What checks are you doing on them? What's the project that they're putting this money in? This is your hard-earned money. You've paid tax on this money. So if you're putting in 100 grand, that's going to cost you, if you're a 40% taxpayer, about 140 grand, whatever that happens to be. Like, what are you doing? This is your money. This is your hard-earned money. And my take on this is that I can mess stuff up just as much as somebody else. In fact, I reckon I could probably screw things up much better than somebody else. So why am I paying somebody else to lose my money for me? And it happens time and time again. I've just been reading right now where somebody lent somebody else a large amount of money. And we're talking tens of thousands, around the 100 grand mark, okay? No due diligence, no contracts, nothing. I just have no idea. I just saw someone speak at a property networking event. And then they sign up as a mentor and then give them loads of money. What are you doing? Get your due diligence done. Now, look, I appreciate people at different stages and people doing different things. And people have different levels of experience and knowledge and trust. Like, after 22 years, I think I'm about 22 years in on this property journey of mine. After 22 years in, do you know how many people I trust? Like my wife, my kids. I think that's about it. I don't trust anybody. And I definitely don't trust people who've got my money, okay? Because I want that money back. But if I were to go into do a JV, and I just need to put a caveat in here as well, doing JVs is not the problem. It is your attitude and the way that you approach things that is the problem. If you're going to do a JV where you've got a chunk of cash and they bring the deal and they do the work, like, first of all, trust. Do you trust that this person has your best intentions or their best intentions? Obviously theirs, okay? They might have some for you as well. But how much experience has this person bringing to the table? And this deal, are the numbers accurate? Have they calculated the cost of a refurb? Have they done that accurately? Do they even know what they're doing? Have they put it into some computer system that pops out a thing that says £18,000 or 25 grand? Or how have they got to that number? Where's the quotes coming from that's going to say, well, we'll buy this property for 50 and we'll spend 25 on it? Great. Where's the quotes? Have you got two quotes, one quote, four quotes? Oh, no, I've got one quote from my building company. Oh, hang on a minute, like alarm bells. So first of all, you've got to think about trust. How much do you trust this other person? And how much do you trust of their experiences and their abilities and their skills and their attitudes and their values? Like, what are the values of a person? Let me talk about values for a second. So, for example, I believe everybody should be wealthy. And I believe everybody should be wealthy because going to a job and doing a job that you hate just sucks. And having bailiffs knocking at your door and not being able to pay bills, that sucks as well. And if we can just get everybody to a certain level, everybody, where you haven't got people knocking on your door, you can pretty much go out and buy whatever food and you can go on holiday a couple of times a year. Like, if we get everybody at that level, that would make me very, very happy. And I believe trickle-down economics doesn't work. I don't think we should trickle it down from the top and it trickles down to those people at the bottom. I think we should do trickle-up economics. I think everyone at the bottom and homeless people, they're the people who are most desperate right now. And after that, the lower paid, or people who have an inability to go to work for a disability or something like that, they should be helped next, and then the lower paid, and we should be moving it upwards, okay? So I would like to bring everybody up to the same level. But you don't do this by getting your hard-earned cash and giving it to someone else who hasn't got the experience, hasn't got the skills, doesn't know what they're doing. found a deal but don't really know how to do due diligence. Like, what experience have they had? At least we've been doing it 22 years. Not that we would ever take money from people to go and do a joint venture on a property deal. It's just not what we've done. And I've always thought for the last 20 odd years that doing that is not a great way of doing it. And I see it all the time, by the way. I see coaches in property going, oh, I've got this deal, but I need some cash. That for me is a big red flag. You're either coaching or you're a developer. Which one is it? And if you're a developer, why are you coaching? And if you're coaching, by the way, I don't mind if you're a coach. I love coaches. I think there's definitely a marketplace for coach who's external to being a developer and just being there as a coach for you to come in and go, what about this? What about that? And so on. But the coach should not be asking mentors or mentees, in fact, for money. It's just a big no-no. Stop doing it. So we talked about trust a little bit. And the next one is referencing. Have you referenced them? Like, literally, you know, like you'd reference a tenant. Just get them to fill in a tenant reference form and get a financial, what's it called? A financial report on them. Like, we just got a financial report back from one of our tenants, okay? So we got, you know, previous landlord and whatever work, and that's irrelevant. Obviously, if you're lending someone money, that's completely irrelevant. But the bits that are relevant is what's their credit risk. So we just did one, looked really good on paper, earns a lot of money, 50 grand a year, and he was a high credit risk. Now imagine lending that person 100 grand. Not only were they a high credit risk, despite earning £50,000 a year, they also had two CCJs. And if we'd not have run a reference on them, they were a guarantor, in fact. If we'd not have run a reference, we wouldn't have found out any of that information. So if you're lending somebody, and bear in mind, as a landlord, we're just lending someone a flat for 6 months, right? We can get them out after 6 months, more or less. But if you're giving somebody £100,000 or £10,000, heck, even £1,000, go run a reference on them. And if they go, no, we don't do referencing, that's a red flag in my book if I ever saw one. We've got to get to a stage where we're helping each other and where we are protecting one another from making mistakes. And this is where experience comes from. But obviously, you get people coming into the property market and they see people around, and I'm not going to mention names here, but they see people on the I've got to be careful in how I say this. Some of the meetings that go on up and down the country, they see people at those networking events on stage telling them about how wonderful their life is and how much experience they've got. And then they pay for coaching directly off that, or even worse, they pay for 100 grand to go into them to do some development of some kind. And they've done zero due diligence. And so we've got to protect each other. We've got to protect one another. And if we can protect one person from making that mistake, I think that's brilliant. Now, we've got to just cover the other side here, because there are people out here who are doing JVs and do them very, very well. So how do you find a good JV partner? Let's talk about that. But first of all, you've got to ask people, has anybody done any JVs? Like, you've got to be finding out, what are other people saying about this person? Have you done a JV? No. Oh, well, can you... do you know anybody else who's done a joint venture with this mentor? Well, no. Okay, so that for me is a red flag. You've got to find someone who's already had experience of working with that. And often on property forums, they talk about those. Now, don't take everything with a pinch of salt on the property forums, because we know that some of that's bullshit as well. But you've got to try and find a way of getting more information. This is what we call due diligence on the person that you're about to lend a lot of money to. For some people, they will never have this amount of money again. This is why it's so, so important for you to make sure that you're doing your due diligence on a person that is saying, I want your money. So find out, has anybody else used them as a mentor? They might be brand new. They might have done four previous developments. And on the fifth development, all the money's tied up because it's all going through the sales. And so they might need some money for that. And I understand that. That's totally acceptable. In which case, if you're doing project number five, show me project number one. Go take some pictures. Let's do a walk around. Let me meet up with you on site. Let's go do a walk around. Let's get the hard hat on. And let's go and take a look at what the finish is like. And who was the builder that built the development? And where did the finance come from for this? Show me your numbers. Let me see that it's your name that's actually on the thing itself. There's
another chap right now who claims to be doing a development, and his name is not on anything at all. And I have no idea if it's his development or if it's in somebody else's name, and they've got a joint venture agreement between themselves and he's keeping his name off. Like, I have no idea. But again, for me, that's red flags. I want to be able to see, at the very least, well, no, my name's not on it. So, you know, but I've got a joint venture agreement with this person. Great. Let me see that joint venture agreement so I can see your name on it. We've got to be asking this level of trust back from the people that you're about to give a lot of money to. And if they kind of don't want to do that, or they feel offended that you're even asking, how dare you ask about whether I'm a good person or not? Like, that, again, it's red flags. And every time I do this, I'm looking for red flags. When I'm renting a property to a tenant, this is a joint venture. Right. Let me put this into context. I'm renting a flat out, let's say, to a person, and in return, they're going to pay me £600 a month for the next 6 months. I want to know, are they trustworthy? Have they rented stuff before? Are they in a new relationship and they're moving in with a partner and going to move out in 3 months? Can they afford the repayments? Have they had done this previously and failed to make those repayments in some way? Have they got CCJs? And this is for a little piddly flat for 6 months, 12 months, whatever that amount is. But that's still potentially £7,200 at £600 a month. That's still money that I want to make sure is coming in. Guess what we do? We reference them. We have a contract. It's called a tenancy agreement. All of this is in place. We understand how to get out of this deal if it turns sour. Section 8 right now, for 2 months in arrears, or Section 21, or we can just put the rents up if we really want to get them out until rent blocks come in. Rent limits. Caps. Rent caps. Thank you. But I want to know, how do I get in this deal? Can the person afford this deal? And how do I get out of this deal if this person turns out to be a little bit of a psychopath? How does that work? So I see people going into these joint venture deals, these project management deals, and they do none of that. It's exactly the same principle, which is why we reference everybody. Heck, we even get guarantors on tenants. Like, do you want to get a guarantor on the person that you're lending the money to? And are you lending it into a company, or are you lending it to an individual? Big differences between those two. If you're lending it to a company, they can just shut that company down, take your money. Of course, there's some fallout from that for them, but you've lost all your money and you're never going to get that money back. Or is it in their own personal name? And if it is in their personal name and they've got CCJs galore, you're still probably never going to get that money back. That's why you should be conducting your own due diligence. If you've got any questions, by the way, just stick them in the box down below because we are watching if you have any questions. But for me, this is about rule number one, never lose money. Rule number two, reread rule number one. Never, ever, ever lose money. That's it. It's Benjamin Graham. And Warren Buffett came from Benjamin Graham as well. That was his mentor. And that was his rules too. And it's my rules too. When I put money in Bitcoin, I know there's a great chance I might lose that money. Okay. When I put money in Tesla, Tesla's not an investment for me. Okay. Just to clarify here, Tesla for me is a gamble. New technology, brand new company, massive wave that's going along. That for me is a gamble. That's not investing. I'm a cash flow investor. So for dividends on stocks and shares, I invest in high dividends, high yields, things like Legal & General or other insurance companies or AT&T, stuff that's over 6% yield. Like, that's an investment. I can see a return on my money. Tesla, I don't know what a return on my money generally is likely to be at all. You could even say the same with stocks and shares. But if you're giving somebody $100,000 to put into a development, you have no idea what their returns are going to be. I even did this. I put my, it was only a small amount of money. It was £1,000. We put it into a crowdfunding system. That was in 2017, would have a 30% return on investment after 8 months. Guess where we are now? 2020, September, 3 years. Have we seen any money back? Excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. And this is one of the things that you see. Oh, no, I can't pay you that money back because Brexit, COVID, the wife's not well, or little Johnny's fallen over and hurt his knee at school, so I have to disappear and I'll call you back next week, and the call never comes. This is down to you to do your own due diligence. And so you've got to put this in place. One of the things that we do with our tenants is we actually try and annoy them. It's quite unusual, I know, but we try and annoy our tenants. We ask them things like, how old are you? Because that will wind up a couple of tenants. And if they go, nothing to do with you, great, see you later. That's my due diligence. If they're an arse now, they're going to be an arse in 6 months. And they might go, well, you're the one being an arse. And you're right, I am. But I'm the one with the bloody flat to rent. So you play by my rules or you don't rent at all. I want to know how old you are. Or sometimes they go, well, why do you want to know how much money I earn? Because you're renting my flat. Well, it's got nothing to do with you. Well, it has, because you're renting my flat. Well, I don't think you do. That's fine. Jog on. And that's exactly what you should be doing. If you're going to be lending money to other people, you've got to be asking, how old are you? Not that it's relevant. How old are you? Are you divorced? I don't know what difference that's got to do with anything. But how they respond to those questions is what I'm getting at. How they respond to, are you divorced? What the heck has it got to do with you? Great. Well, if there's a problem further on down the line, is this how they're going to react? That's what I would do. Now, for me, life is different for me than it is for a lot of people. I can tell someone to jog on. It makes no difference in my life. I have built my life so that people chase me, not the other way around. And I've always wanted to live life like that. And that's pretty much how it is. And if people don't chase me, I don't know. It doesn't even register. And if people do chase me and they want to work with me for some reason or whatever that happens to be, then awesome. We'll do some work together. But you shouldn't be chasing other people to do projects with. You should allow them to come to you. Let them know if you've got some money available for investment, let them know. And they should apply to work with you, not the other way around. They should. I'm going to say it again, because this blows people's minds that you can do this. If you've got 100 grand set aside and you want to invest it in property, you want people to fill in the application form. What's your project? When was planning given? What's the postcode? What's the plans? Email me copies of everything. Have you got a credit report? Can you fill in a credit report? Here's a link. It'll cost you £20 to do a credit report. And get them to pay for their own credit report if that's what you want to do. You should be in control. You shouldn't be just giving out your hard-earned cash to people without knowing who they are, what they are, what experience they've got, what knowledge and skills they have, what connections they have, what CCJs they've got, what bankruptcies they've got against them, and so on and so on and so on. That will do us for today. I hope that's useful. I just wanted to share this because I see it happen all the time on Facebook. Hey, have you got money in the bank giving you 2%? Give it to me and I'll give you 8%. It scares the living heck out of me. And I want people to stop lending people like that money. If it's such a good deal, they can raise finance. And if they can't raise finance, why? Why can't you raise finance on your own property deal? And there are various reasons, not all of them bad. But you want to know, why can't you raise finance on this property investment project? Why? What's going on? Well, I've got 14 CCJs and I was made bankrupt last year. Oh, really? At least, well, now you want me to give you my money so you can lose that too? Like, you need to know this information. It's really, really important. Okay, that will do it. A good little rant, but hopefully that might save a couple of people from making a few mistakes, or it will get some people to do due diligence and go, do you know what? It's fine. I've done my checks. I'm happy to go forward with this chap for this project, whatever that happens to be. I know what things I need in place. I need a contract of some kind. I need to know, is there a first charge on the property? Plus, is the person personally on the hook or is it going through their company? You can get these decisions and then make a better decision based on what you want to do as you move forward. Hope that's useful. We'll catch up with you on the next live. My name's Dan Latto. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.